All right, it is the third week of the month, and here we are with Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Joe. I always look forward to the third week of the month when I get to see you.
So I just thought we'd start right with what happened Monday night. It's kind of fresh and new to me because I was there too, and it was the convention center meeting. I assume you're happy that things are moving again. This time we had, you were there, of course, the commissioners, city council, and county council, and this was kind of centered on the funding mechanisms. But I wasn't too, I guess, surprised of the information because we've talked a lot about it here. Because I think all along you said the funding was there, and last night was a way to show that to everybody else. Am I on the right track?
Yes, Joe. I mean, I think it was a good evening for not only the 20 elected officials who were invited, most of whom were there, and also the public to hear that the food and beverage tax, which was created to help support the convention center, in fact, looks like that financing will be sufficient, essentially, to fund the expansion of the convention center and most, if not all, of the rehab of the current center. And it was just a start, and it's a snapshot. I mean, there's a lot of financial analysis still to do, but you may remember when a couple years ago when we were looking at this in the food and beverage tax, it was estimated that maybe $30 million, a bond of $30 million would be supported by the food and beverage tax. It looks like, in fact, it will support a bond of over $40 million. So that strength of the income from the food and beverage tax was encouraging. I think we're in a place now where we've got identified the resources that to do this really important downtown project.
Those are two of the three parts. The third part would be the parking garage, a 550 spot garage. And the funding mechanism for that was looking at tax districts. Is that correct?
Each of the pieces of the convention center expansion does have a little different component and flavor to it. The expansion is basically paid for by the food and beverage tax. A parking garage, the city has committed to identify how to do that through tax increment finance money or other sources that we have, including the parking fees, of course, help pay for a garage. And then the third piece is a hotel, which we didn't talk a lot about last night, but that typically too would involve some perhaps public land, perhaps some abatement, and that package together. Really, that's what's so important for the downtown future. We have a downtown that is people love to come to, and people love to come to conventions here, but we have a very small convention center. So this is the right step, I think, and many people agree, to help the downtown continue to thrive for the next decades.
It was interesting, during the meeting, Councilwoman Isabel Piedmont-Smith talked about the county owning the current convention center and how does that get funded through city funds for something the county owns? Is that something that's going to have to be looked at as time goes on?
There are some legal niceties kind of to figure out. Technically, even the county does. There's a building corporation that owns the current convention center, and eventually it may go back to the county when the bonds are paid off. There are $4 million of debt still on the current convention center. So we're looking at a capital improvement board or some kind of independent entity that could run this, but. And that can all get worked out along the way. What I'm hopeful for is that we are now ready to restart. I'm a little frustrated we've postponed and hit pause on the design. This community, hundreds of people helped start the design process, and it's time to kick that off again, and I hope we can do that soon.
So the next step are both councils are going to meet again, setting their own agenda. And is this more of an informational thing to get them on board?
I'm not sure what it is.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. I look forward to that. I kind of talk about four phases, and we're through the first two. The first phase was the community deciding, let's do a convention center. And that ended with the food and beverage tax in late 2017. The next phase two, is really scoping the project, looking at the site, trying to do the basic design of that, and we've just finished that. We've found the site, we've scoped the size, we've figured out we have the resources to do it. We're ready to go to phase three, which is the design and build. And that'll take 3 years, let me just say. If we announcing today we're going to start the full design, it'll take us 3 years to open the doors. And then we'll get to phase four, which will be operating the new convention center.
And Convergence Design was there last night and had a few renderings, proposals. So in some ways at the end, it was kind of nice to see the progress that already had been made and how close it is to get to that design phase. Is that how close that is?
Look, I'm excited and eager. You saw the drawings. We've looked at an expanded convention center to the north of the existing convention center, which brings you north of 3rd Street, which brings you one block away from the downtown square, which ties you directly into the B-line. And that new facility actually will create some great space next to the B-line, including even a deck that will let you look out over the B-line and new park space next to the B-line. So it's really exciting. Hotel east of the convention center on that block. We are really well poised, and what needs to happen now is a process of getting the architects with pens and pencils and getting the community involved to really do the design work and then begin the build work. And that's a three-year process, so I'm eager to get that going, but it's very exciting to know we are ready to move forward with
it. And who needs to kick that off? Is that City Council saying, let's go?
Well, that's one of the questions, is kind of this governance issue. I think the steering committee that we had created together was ready to say, let's take it to the next level. The county has pulled back and wants to revisit certain things. I hope we'll work through that quickly. Every month that we delay does diminish, in my view, the importance and the opportunity to invest in the downtown. But I think and hope that will happen soon.
So there was another meeting where City Council came together to move forward a development that's slated for the Motel 6 area, that'd be north of town. It was denied last week and kind of came back suddenly. Do you have any insight of what happened there and then how it was approved?
Well, this was a project, as you said, at the current Motel 6 site. The project plans to put a major apartment building there, primarily focused towards students. It's in an area of town below the bypass, north of 17th, east of Walnut, that many of us are really thinking about as a good place for student density. It's on transit, it's walkable to the football stadium and to the transit there and the campus. So on the first presentation, Plan Commission supported it unanimously. It went to council, and I think what happened was it appeared that five council members supported it, but the way the vote happened, it turned out five voted against it. It was kind of a procedural complexity. So the council decided, and I encouraged them, and I'm pleased they did do so, to bring that back, reconsider, and it was supported 5-3. So the council, in a good way, I think, reflected that, hey, we're not sure the majority rule was reflected in what happened 2 weeks ago. And I give them credit that they respect each other enough to know that even if I'm against it, it is important that the majority rule, and they got that done and the vote happened and that project will go forward. I'll note the project is doing some really good things besides creating more housing. It's supporting a new bus line. It's doing it's completing some serious sidewalk work up there, and they're committing more than $2 million to support other affordable housing. So I think on balance, it's a good investment in our city.
We also been following a little bit, although it's been going on, the UDO, Unified Development Ordinance for Bloomington. It's with the Plan Commission. I think they first scheduled three meetings, and now I don't know where we're up to, five or maybe six or something like that. And on many amendments, there's public comment, but really the goal here is to work on the density of downtown Bloomington, right?
Well, this is classic Bloomington. This is, we get involved. Actually, we're reflecting our architects in the convention center said, we have never had as much public input as we've had in Bloomington. We're not done yet, by the way. But in the UDO, the Plan Commission is digging deep. They're looking at the Unified Development Ordinance doesn't just deal with downtown, it deals with the whole city and the uses of land and who can do what on their property. It happens every 12 or 15 years, so it's a big deal. It'll go through Plan Commission soon, and then it will go to City Council for review, and all those questions will come up again. It's very important for sustainability, the built environment, quality of life, and all those things are baked into these issues.
There were a lot of people, too, public, at the meetings. It almost surprised me to see it packed for something like this. But it seems like when there's something that gets in their mind, the plexes, I think, are the things that are really
plexes.
The duplexes, triplexes, single family homes, not wanting to see apartment type buildings, I guess, pop up. But in some ways, this is also helping bring more people to downtown where there's a housing crunch. So how is this starting to come together where both sides are starting to merge into something that everyone can be happy with?
I hope so. I don't know that everyone will be happy with it, because there are strong feelings and views about this. Bloomington, like any city in the country, is struggling, dealing with the pressures of affordability and how do you create a more sustainable community, protect the quality of life for folks. It has been encouraging to see so many people come out. They speak about all sides of these issues. I'll just note, one of the core issues is what we kind of call the missing middle. Many communities find you've got single family housing and you have larger apartment buildings, but getting a missing middle, which is duplexes and triplexes and quadplexes and small apartment buildings and maybe garden courts and those kinds of things, how do you encourage that to happen? Often what we've seen after World War II is monoculture, single family housing subdivisions almost. And most cities think that's not the way we want a vibrant city to be. Most of our vibrant cities have a mix of housing and offer that missing middle housing. So the UDO is trying to address that. It certainly creates, change is difficult. I understand that. I live in an old neighborhood. It is important to know that we already have well over 1,000 plexes, if you will, in the city. They have been built through our history, but they aren't being built as much now. So the question is, how do we deal with that? But affordability is critical. And one of the things I always remember is the people who want to live in our city don't show up at our meetings. And one of the we need to make sure we hear the voices of people who say, I'd like to live in Bloomington, Indiana. I can't afford it, or you don't have the kind of housing I need. So we need to make sure that we're developing product that will support the people who want to live here who aren't here right now, but we need them for our jobs and our diversity and the future of the community.
And this has been, what is it, a two-year process?
Yes, it is, over 2 years.
This has been a large undertaking. Mm-hmm. Will this really put a dent into the housing?
Well, it will make a difference that we have this kind of zoning. It's going to help us avoid so much spot zoning and planned unit developments that require individual review of each and try to say, here's what we want in the city. Try to make it clear what we want and to encourage local investors, builders, entrepreneurs to do that in our community. It's an important development.
4th Street Garage is coming down, and the Trades District is moving forward. Do you have any updates on these two major parking structures downtown?
Well, I can report we are not going to have a blown-up 4th Street Garage. I was wondering whether we would get to do an implosion, but that's neither efficient nor safe for what we're going to do in this environment. So it is being dismantled, and even as we speak, that process is underway. It will take some time. That garage will be replaced by the end of next year. It's going to be at least a year, and that's real important for downtown. As you're right as well, in the Trades District, the process to put in a new garage to serve the employers, particularly the employers in the new Trades District, has been working its way through the process. It's a neat design. It's got a sawtooth roof to kind of match some of the buildings in the old Trades District, which will, I think, people will enjoy.
Is there any update on the eminent domain?
In court. There's a court hearing early October.
Early October.
That will be dealing with that, and I hope that proceeds well.
We've been seeing news, too, of the sewer rate increase coming to separate 3% inside city limits and 15% outside city limits. Does that include Ellettsville, or do they have their own?
They have their own.
So this is more county-oriented, rural areas.
So the City of Bloomington Utilities provides water to a large area beyond the city, sewer services to significant areas, not as much as the water, and then wastewater services. So those three things. The sewer, we know we have a plant on the south side that is near capacity for sewer. We've been notified by the state, and we have to expand that plant and manage that process well. That's what the rates are about, is to make sure we have the ability to keep serving everybody in a growing community that needs sewer service. We've never had, but we now are going to be introducing, through the utilities board, has proposed introducing an inside rate and an outside rate, primarily reflecting the fact that, first of all, the inside customers have already paid for the plant that is there, and the expansion is because of the new areas that are being added that are needed to make sure that's true. Also because outside the city, as you might imagine, the need for pipes and lift stations and others in a less dense area is more expensive per mile of pipe and that kind of thing. So we're trying to do that. The Utility Regulatory Board at the state oversees all this and makes sure that we're doing it right. And that's going to go through, I think it's gone through the utility board, and it'll go through city council soon.
A couple things before we go. I know you probably want to talk about the Beeline extension possibility proposal happening. There's a public input session Wednesday night, and this would be what, the western part of the Beeline?
Yes, the northwest end is going to be extended up. You know, our community loves trails. The Beeline has been a smashing success. This will extend the northwest end of the Beeline up to 17th Street, which will then connect it to some more trails that will actually run west over the highway and other things. You know, it's exciting to see the trail network expanding. We're talking about trees. We've just done a big tree inventory. We've learned that more than 50% expansion in our public trees over the last 12 years, which is great to see. Farmers market is still going on too. You know, there's a lot going on in Bloomington. Saturday is the Hispanic Heritage Month. Invite everybody down for Fiesta del El Toño down at the farmers market if you have time for that.
All right, that was all I had. Do you have any other announcements or anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think so. Yeah. You know, just enjoy September. We've got the full activity of students back, and enjoy the fall weather that's always so beautiful in Bloomington.